Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 74, part of the Pull Tab Sports family. So what kind of podcast are we going to get this week? We've been having state fair extravaganzas, a lot of like special issues, special episodes. Today is just going to be a regular old 30-minute long solid Sunday morning coming down with just some shenanigans, some nothingness, maybe a trace of wisdom, and it's going to be great. So settle in. I reached my hockey low point this week. I'm not a real hockey player, so I grew up in the small town on the west side with a dream, Edina, a community that's been cobbling it together for years best they can. But I wasn't a hockey player. I was a football player. I have played beer league hockey for basically, I guess, the last 25 years, once a week. And we have a guy who organizes our hockey, and he's great. We call him Reg Dunlop. He's the infamous, as you know, I have one strike because I forgot to notify him that I was out of town. And I'm a bubble player, swing line. So he was gone, which is frightening to begin with. I hope he's alive. But he didn't come, he told everyone he wasn't going to be there. So we're playing this first game. There's a lot of young kids filling in this week because we're missing guys. And the team I'm on is getting throttled. We're losing bad. We play games to five, and then the goalies switch when a team gets five goals. So we're in the middle. I think it's the second game, and we're now down 1-0 again. We've quickly lost the first game. And I escape back to the bench after one of my 31-second-long shifts where I try not to make eye contact with anyone on my team so that they don't pass it to me. And they say, hey, we traded you. Go over there and tell one of the young kids to come over here. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, we traded you. This is during the game. And so I have to walk around the benches, and then I take off my dark jersey, and I put on a white jersey on the other team's bench. So I also have to go to the team that's winning and sort of be like, hey, they think you're winning by too much, so they sent me to you. Like, I'm a cooler. It'd be like you're at a blackjack table winning, like, 10 hands, and all of a sudden, like, I just, like, roll up in some like, wire-rim glasses and, you know, and just start crushing, the wrong cards next to you. So at first I was just super, like, I'm just going to go to the bar. I can't believe I got traded in a beer league hockey game during the game. My team that I was on basically said, God, we're getting killed. I mean, we are getting our asses kicked. How could we fix this? What's a remedy? Maybe if we get rid of King and get a player that's better than him, it'll be fine. And they did it. I mean, unbelievable. I think part of this is the leader was gone, and we had a bunch of guys that aren't really the leader trying to figure it out, not knowing what they're doing. But, yeah, getting traded in-game. I was just going to leave and go to the bar. Then I was kind of, like, actually mad at some of my buddies on the other team because I got traded for one of their kids, and I was like, man, he kind of stabbed me in the back. And then I kind of started rallying with my team. I really wanted to get, like, the winning goal. And then I was going to take my black jersey. I had it on the bench, hanging over the bench, because when I scored, I was going to quickly grab it and throw the black jersey at the other team. As it turned out, I did not score at all, and the guy they traded for me was involved in multiple goals. They did not win, so the team that traded me kept losing, but just by not as much. So, yeah, that was rough, being traded in a beer league hockey game during play. I mean, just sitting there, like, having to take my helmet off and switch from dark to light, I mean, holy hell. And I keep coming back. Like, that should erase that red check right there. If you're listening, Reg, what I went through last week when you were gone and the inmates were running the asylum, that should erase that red check, because that was, you got to like the game to stay around when that happens to you. So I also had a thing that really restored my faith in the universe. We'll be talking about the universe a lot today. So there's some young kids that started a dog walking service in our neighborhood, and they passed out a flyer. And I'll put this on the Instagram Sunday Morning Coming Down pod. It's called Lucky Puppy Dog Walking. It says, dog walking and and playtime, $20 for 20 minutes or $30 for 35 minutes. Very expensive, by the way, but intrigued by the pricing model. Can include walking, playing, and feeding. It can include all those things. The dog walkers are Landon, Austin, and Lucy, accompanied by mom. That's a new line, accompanied by mom. Call today, and their phone number is 651-728-WALK. So they've legit secured the digits that spell out the word walk. So we get this thing, and it's expensive, so we're like, is this like make us feel bad about the world or good about the world? Because it's also kind of cute. So we called these kids, and they were on speakerphone. Of course, we were driving to the state fair. Where else would we be going? But listening to this kid on the phone, it was priceless. He's like, okay, September 1st at 2 o'clock? Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that'll work. Would you like us to come over earlier and meet the dog? I'm like, oh my God, this is great. So, I'm going to actually put their ad up on the Instagram. So maybe some of our listeners want to have their dog, get this. You know, playtime can be included if you want, and accompanied by mom. The lucky dog walking. They came over, and actually, I believe they are coming to walk our dog tomorrow on Saturday twice because we have a wedding. Our dog did not get out of the cone yet. He's going to be wearing the cone longer. But he's starting to look less like Riggenstein and more like regular Riggins, but he is still stuck in the cone. The opposite of the cone is when you're the cone of shame. The opposite of that is having custom clothing by Jay Hilburn. So like when I walk Riggins with the cone of shame, everyone's kind of looking at him going, oh. But when you dress your best in Jay Hilburn, let the compliments begin. So I told you three tips for fall. This is not generic. This is fall 2021. Last week we told you to get a sport coat. So the second tip that stylist Andy gave me is what she calls a third piece. And I didn't know what this was, so I had to ask her. So a third piece is like you're wearing a sport coat or a jacket, and most people just have like a shirt under it. So nowadays, apparently, if you really want to tighten up your game, you would have maybe a quarter zip under your sport coat. The young kids will do a hoodie under the sport coat. I do not know if I could pull that off. I'd like to try. I just broke my own rule. I can pull that off. I'll have to try. The hoodie or a vest. So apparently, you look nice if you have a sport coat on. You do. But if you have this third piece, this thing under the sport coat over the shirt, then you are thriving. That is like, I think it's the fashion equivalent of having cold salad plates. You know, it's a high-end move. I'm sure some of you are scratching your head saying, I don't exactly know what a third piece would look like. Well, I'll put some on the Instagram. But that's the second tip for fall 2021. As Andy mentioned, less time going into work. Things are fluid. So custom casual is really what they're specializing in, is they're making you look better when you're out in your life doing things. That's Jay Hilburn. Let the compliments begin. The the IST is still working. She's had two cuts, but she's doing well. I have not received any gloves in the mail yet. Thank you, listeners, for nothing. But it's thrown a wrench in. She's used to, like, you know, my wife cooks these elaborate meals, like just hundreds of different things she can cook, and they're really good. And she'll be coming home at 6:30 with her new schedule, and it's, you know, she doesn't like to, she likes to cook, and so we've been trying to figure out how to do this. But she had a couple great lines this week, and this one was, we were talking about, I had hockey I was getting picked up at 8, where I was going to get traded. Had I known that, I might not have gone. But she was getting home at 6:30, so it's kind of like, what are we going to do here? And at one point, we suggested, well, we can order food. And she just looks at my daughter and I and says, we don't DoorDash in this house. We don't DoorDash in this house. I had to write that one in the notes because that was good. A new phenomenon I'm experiencing, and I wonder if anyone else out there is, I have this new pet peeve, which is that it seems increasingly that people are right behind me trying to talk to me. So I'll be at a restaurant. This happened this week. I'm at a restaurant. I'm at the Blacksmith, and some person's just standing right behind me, and I can't turn around to see them. I just feel tremendously awkward. I guess I could just move my chair. We actually practiced this a little bit. But if someone comes up at the bar after hockey and is standing directly behind me, kind of talking to the group, and they're right behind me, it just makes me want to flip the table over. It drives me crazy. I don't know what it is. That's something that I have in my life now, which is pretty exciting. We did have a verdict on Prono Pup is superior to Corn Dog. The Corn Dog has been deemed soggy by the experts. Pronto Pup does win. That is in, and that is official. I had a couple moments with the universe, and I want to know what you listeners think of this. So I was at Martin Zeller at the State Fair, and when Martin played our wedding, we had had a... we were having a baby and getting married at the same time. I had heard something similar had happened to Martin, so I wrote him a letter, and he agreed to play our wedding at a very low cost when we were very young. And he, our wedding song is, Can't Help Falling in Love, kind of the Elvis version of that. And he was like, I don't know if I can do that. It's Elvis Presley. I'll try it. And he did it. He sang it for us. And that was our first dance. But we're at the show. It's an encore. It's a Gear Daddy show. Not even Martin Zeller. It's a Gear Daddy show. And if he doesn't play Can't Help Falling in Love as the last song on an encore, my wife just put her arm around me. We kind of sat there and watched. And it was just unbelievable. I mean, he learned that song because of our wedding. And why in the world at a Gear Daddy's show would he be playing an Elvis cover, which is slow, as his last song of the night? So that was striking. Apparently, I was supposed to be standing right there at that moment with my wife. The other thing is I did take Riggins up to the Cup and Cone. So he was Pup in Cone of Shame at Cup and Cone Ice Cream Shop. Took the picture, clever caption, yay, winning the internet. But while I'm at the Cup and Cone with the Pup in Cone, a dude walks up to me with a cartoon he's clipped from the newspaper, and it's a picture of kids in line at an ice cream shop, and then a dog in a cone, and then someone lifts the dog in the cone up, and they start filling his cone with ice cream like it is a cone. And he's like, I got to just show you this. And I'm like, what in the hell? Like, I mean, there's been some Twilight Zone stuff, so maybe I've been in the right spot a couple times this week. I hope so. That's about as spiritual as I get sometimes, so that's good. Our daughter is home, Peyton. She gives me a lot of tips for the podcast, tells me good music to listen to, tells me good shows to watch, tells me good movies to watch. She's wonderful. We love Peyton. And she is home, and we did the Stillwater Bridge to Bridge run, where you start on the Green Bridge over the river, head into Wisconsin, go up a hill, and then you kind of run back on the suspension bridge on the highway. And it was just awesome to do that with your kid. And but I will say, man, Stillwater, when you get out a little ways, it is True Detective Season 1. My business partner says they call them Stillbillies, is what they call the wild folk in Stillwater, Stillbillies, which I like. And I can see it. This road, once you get a little bit, once you get about 100 yards away from an antique and candy store, it's True Detective Season 1 out there. It was a little different in the Stilly, but the run was about the right distance. We're also doing a kind of a movie festival with some friends that are listeners of the podcast. This came across on a group text. No idea how this happened. We are watching 5 films. They all are 1 word long, and we're going to rank them from 1 to 5, and there's 5 people doing it. Val, the movie about Val Kilmer. Pig, the Truffle Pig movie with Nicolas Cage. Roadrunner, which might be 2 words, I don't know. That's Anthony Bourdain's movie. And then there's a movie about a deaf girl, maybe called Coda. And then there's a movie about a stripper that is also a 1-word title. So if anyone wants to join in on those festivities, join us. I've watched Val, which I found to be total madness, as excited as I was by the trailer. At some point in the movie Val, he says, you look at the tree and you keep writing a poem about the tree. You keep writing until you become that tree. So even though the movie got done and I was like, what the hell was that? I still feel inadequate because I feel like maybe I'm just not the tree. So maybe it's genius and I missed the point. And the fact that I'm looking for a point is what's wrong with me. I think that's what's happening in that movie. And then I watched Pig with Nicolas Cage. This has been getting rave reviews. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's a simple movie with deep, deep messages, even though they're using metaphors throughout. My daughter had told me to watch this a while back. We watched it together. It is great. It's like a short story turned into a movie. I just thought it was deep and beautiful. I really like that. That's a movie called Pig with Nicolas Cage. I think it's about $6 on Amazon Prime. A lot of people have been watching the Untold documentaries on Netflix as well, the sports ones. There's one about Bruce / Caitlyn Jenner. There's one about a female boxer, the Malice at the Palace. And I think there's even a hockey one about a team that was being run by the mob. I did have a little dip this week where I was kind of feeling sorry for myself or sad. And at some point I had a bit of an epiphany that because I try to work on myself so much, but maybe the only way you're happy is what you do for other people. And I think that's true. And maybe I got to unwind myself a little bit and focus more on that. I do need to talk about Big Wood Brewery, our newest sponsor. We've done the trivia twice, and man, I got to tell you, our listeners, no joke, have answered that trivia question before I wake up on Sunday. One time it was at night on Saturday, and this week it was before I even woke up. We're not going to do trivia every week. I have the new question. We'll do it next week. But what the Big Wood guys have said to me is they want to have anybody who gets the answer on Monday will pick the winner from that group so that it's not such a rat race to win. But they told me they got a new beer of the month in the tap room. It's called Wink Wink Nudge Nudge. A golden ale, 4.5% ABV. This crisp and clean golden ale will surely create a big wave on your taste buds. Big wave is in quotes. So clearly, they have made a beer that tastes a lot like Kona Big Wave, because they say, again, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Tastes great on the patio during these last warm days of summer. That beer is called Wink Wink Nudge Nudge. If you're a fan of the Big Wave, which I am, so I'm going to have to try that, let's do that. Let's go to the tap room in September for some of these nice last fall days. That's Big Wood Brewery. They're right downtown White Bear Lake. You can buy their product in liquor stores only in Minnesota, by the way. Trivia will be back next week, and you'll have a better chance to win because we'll put anybody who comments on the answer in there as a chance to win. Somebody asked me today a super random question. They said, "What's your favorite number?" And I was kind of frozen. I was like, "I don't really have a favorite number. You know, I have numbers that mean stuff to me. Maybe it's your anniversary. Maybe it's your kids' hockey numbers. But I don't know. Maybe I like 7 a little bit when I was younger. But my answer was I like 00 and I like 13. I kind of like the numbers on the roulette table that are the two green ones up top, the wild cards. So 13 is supposed to be bad luck, so that's kind of fun. And 00 isn't really a thing, and so that seems fun. I don't know. What's your favorite number? That's a question for you. That would be a connection question they would ask at the food shelf, I think. I got a call from our son at college this week, and 8 a.m., I'm on a Zoom or a call of some sort, and he says, he calls, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, he doesn't usually call me or even call me at 8 a.m., so I put it on mute, and I said, "Hey, are you okay?" He just goes, "I think I got the Delta." So he did not have the Delta variant, but, you know, all these kids are going back to school. But, man, talk about how mental the pandemic is. The second he told me that, you know, I was driving later that day, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I feel like I have a headache. Oh, it's coming for me. I just was with him. I moved him in. We sat in the dark with the tornado warning. But man, I was like halfway to the ER, just because mentally it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. It's powerful. It's crazy. I do have a scene from the fair for you. A buddy and myself, we had this idea to steal a Sweet Martha's cookie. Okay, it seems super easy. These buckets are overloaded. Originally, we're going to kind of try to do it right where you order, when someone just turns to leave, and just grab it when they're turning. It was only two of us though, so he had the phone. He was going TMZ recording it, and I was the stealer. And you know, with COVID, you know, if you touch someone's, my big fear would be I do this kind of as a joke. I grab a cookie, I get caught, and somebody just throws the whole bucket down. Is like, oh, these are no good. You know, global pandemic, COVID. These have been contaminated. I guess, you know, little Billy won't have a cookie on the bench when I get back there. And so it's higher risk now. The stakes are higher. We even bumped into a buddy when we were doing this, and he's like, what are you guys doing? You know, and we were trying to explain it to him. We're going to go back to the fair today, and we have a third guy with us. So I think our setup is going to be distractor, stealer, filmer. I think with three, we can get the job done. But It's risky, man. I mean, you could get smoked, I think. I think you could get smoked in the face if you get caught stealing a cookie for some reason in 2021. I think it's possible, you know, we could get beat up trying this, but we're still pretty curious about it. I don't know how I'm ever going to steal a keg from an open beer truck if I can't take one Sweet Martha's cookie. Maybe I won't be the stealer today. Maybe I'll be the distractor. And then everyone's like, well, you could just ask for one cookie, tell them you'll give them a buck. And we're like, no, it's just going to taste so much better if you steal it. It's going to taste so good if it's stolen. But if you just ask for it, that seems kind of lame. So that's scenes from the fair. We're hopefully going to get the job done. I do have a good question. It came in. It's kind of a relevant one, I felt, in terms of this week, and I'll get into why. But here is that question.
Hey, John, I just got done listening to your podcast about your trip to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, with your mother and father for their anniversary. Congratulations, Roger and Gene. Great example. My question for you is, does Roger always pick up the tab? He strikes me as the patriarch, the guy that's not going to let the kids grab the tab ever. So I want to know if that's true. And secondly, at what age should the kids be stepping up to offer to pick up the tab? Thank you. Love the show.
That is a great question. I will say, though, the guy who asked that question, I paid for his tab, like, in the last 2 weeks. So maybe this is just some elaborate Jedi mind trick where he's trying to get free meals from me. But on the off chance that that's not the case, yes, my dad does pick up the tab if he's with us. Now, I would say generally, I am not a manly in any way. You know, I can blow smoke rings in a cigar. I can parallel park. I could be in the Olympics for parallel parking. And I can sneak a credit card to a waiter better than almost anyone in the Midwest. So I generally can outfox my friends, and I do enjoy picking up tabs when you go out with other couples and such. But when you're with your parents, I would say generally, I think it's natural. It's a natural order of things that he picks up the tab. I think it's kind of silly to be macho and try to like pick up the tab from your folks. Now, special occasions. So we took my parents out to dinner last night, and it was a gift to them. And so we, of course, paid. But and he knew that that was, he knows going in that this is us buying them dinner. So there are special occasions like that. But if it's all even, I think you just look kind of try hard, or like, really, you're gonna like, that doesn't make your dad feel good for you to pay the tab. I don't think if they're open to paying it themselves, I think that that's the kind of natural way. But what I would say is you have to say thank you. You know, it's very important that you never take for granted any of those things. So if you even go to dinner at Rudy's with your own family and you're driving home afterwards, I would want the kids to say, hey, thanks guys, that was nice. You know, that's all you need is just that respect in that transaction. But no, he definitely picks up the tab when we're together. I don't think any of the brothers presume to. I wouldn't try to sneak a credit card and pay a bill instead of my dad. I think that becomes almost disrespectful, if that makes sense. I don't know why that is, but I just think you know, it's okay, and they usually want to do that, and then you just thank them for doing that. I think that's the way it works in our family anyway. So Willie Anderson does my insurance. He's great at it. I feel completely comfortable having him do that. He answers his phone when I need him. He has saved us money. He's helped us with all sorts of, you know, new wrinkles with my new company. So he's great at Ms. Pac-Man. He's a loyal listener. And if you're headed out of summer, the kids are back in school, and you're looking at your budget and you're trying to tighten things up, why don't you call Willie and see if he can save you some money? Because I know he can. And as Willie says, as a rule, stupidity is covered. So this morning, I had to go into my notes, and there's a tab called Last Drunk. And I had to put September 2nd, 21 in it. So went to dinner with my folks last night. Wonderful time at Ingredients. Rebecca, the hostess there, is just crazy hospitable, and she like pollinates this entire side of the room. Live music, Joe Cruz and Jennifer Grimm. It was great. Now, here's my issue as a drinker. I should just go home. Gopher football was on, first game of the season against Ohio State. I've just had, by all accounts, a wonderful night with my folks. It is the kind of night where the music was just a little bit too loud for my mom and dad, but as the night went on, I could tell they didn't even care, and that was kind of cool to have this different experience. And it was just great. So I should have just gone home. I watched the rest of the Gopher game in my house. Maybe I have one big wood beer, but no. I am like Odie, the dog in Garfield. My tongue is hanging out of my mouth, and let's go to White Bear Bar. Let's go there to watch the rest of the Gopher game. That's a place where a lot of good things happen. Why don't I head over there and see what happens? Wait, there's a group of people at the Six. I better see that as well. So how I deem what I would call last drunk is if I'm looking in my phone the next day and I'm scrolling back and going, oh, okay, 6:30, I texted that. I was definitely sober then, and I'm just trying to see what I said or did or asked, or and I'm kind of piecing it together. That is not ideal. I think the funniest thing for me, it's not actually funny, but it is funny, is my daughter just texted me, "You need to be better." What a great text that is. And it's true. It's basically the theme of this podcast, essentially, is what I'm trying to do, rather unsuccessfully. But that's always good when you're sort of like piecing the night together going, "You should be better." Which part, which thing are you referring to? I made it almost a month, I guess 3 weeks between, I would say, too much fun and regular life. I'm Odie from Garfield. I'm just, you know, I should wear a cone. I think maybe that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start wearing the cone. Maybe if I have another mishap, I'm going to wear the cone for like 3 days. I mean, I work for myself, right? I can go to Stillwater with the cone on. I can still type. And my business partner will just be like, got after a little bit this weekend, huh? Yeah, I think that'll work. I think I'm going to wear the cone next time. All right, guys, I hope you're having a good week. I hope we had a nice, tidy, little, tight podcast for you to enjoy. Get it.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. If I can't